Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. And Roger, we are talking here in the month of July on Fridays about a very important topic, shepherding during a crisis.
Of course, when we talk about shepherding, we're talking about the leadership within the local congregation. We're talking about elders, and we're talking about looking at the biblical perspective of leading God's people as God wants them to be led. So our lesson last week we talked about was shepherding during a crisis and how unusual times, especially as a call to step up and to do what God wants to do. That lesson is on our website. If you haven't grabbed it, we encourage you to go back and listen to it. Good lesson to sit down with some other people who are thinking about being future elders, to listen to those things and to learn from those principles. Today we want to talk about knowing the condition of the flock. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the steps of a good shepherd. We're going to talk about Psalms 23. From that, we're going to talk about the sheep-shepherd relationship. And then we'll wrap this series up at the end of July by looking at how the sheep can help the shepherd. Great lessons, great little package we're putting together about shepherding the way God wants it to be done.
Roger, this past quarter, I spent Sundays and Wednesdays teaching through the book of Ezekiel, and one of the most haunting statements, I think, in all of the book, God says to Ezekiel and by extension to the descendants of Abraham, during this time of crisis, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and there wasn't anyone.
No one was there. And so you can imagine a ship with no one at the helm, just being battered by the waves. Congregation that has no leadership is going to flounder. And so God's direction, God's plan was not to have a democracy of people and the ones with the most vote wins. That usually is a disaster. God's leadership and plan was to have godly men who are selected among the flock to lead the people as God wants them to be led. And that's what we're looking at in this series here.
So where does this phrase, know well the condition of your flocks, where is that from?
That's from the book of Proverbs 27, verse 23. Proverbs 27, verse 23, know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. There's a footnote there in the New American Standard for condition of your flocks, and that's the face. You can tell a lot by someone's face. You can tell when someone's looking kind of blue, they're kind of down, someone who looks angry, someone who's upset, someone who's doing well, their countenance will express that. So know well the condition of your flocks. Pay attention to your herds. That's what shepherds are supposed to do. And as we mentioned last week in our lesson, oftentimes we have this overview, this 32,000-foot view where everything seems okay. We got all these classes being taught, and we got a preacher in the pulpit. Everything seems to be fine, but we don't realize here's a family and they're struggling. Here's a person and he's going through some marriage issues. Here's someone else and they're having some doubts. Here's a college student and they're going Monday to Friday and they're hearing all this stuff from a professor that's just counter to what the Bible says. Here's this person, and they've just broken up with someone they were dating with. Here's someone, and their mate wants to leave them. Here's someone who's just buried a parent. And here they all gather together on a Sunday morning, and we think, well, everybody's here. Everybody's doing just fine. But through their hearts are worry and anxiety and fear, confusion and doubt. Know well the condition of your flocks.
Well, and especially as we think about that wise statement, as it applies to the spring and now into the summer of 2020, a good shepherd is not going to assume that, well, if this particular family or this individual, you know, we had this period where we weren't able to gather in the church building. And so we were supplementing these things with video. But 2, 3, 4 months later, as things open up, they'll just show back up. You know, I haven't talked to them. There hasn't been any check-in, any communication. But as soon as we let everybody know it's time to come back, well, they'll just naturally come back. If you have a literal shepherd whose sheep are just scattered to the four winds, and then there's a call to come back, some of those sheep may be lost. Some of those sheep may be down in a pit somewhere. They may have wandered into a dark valley and not have any way to get themselves out. They might be surrounded by predators.
And the contrast between what you're saying and what Proverbs says, you're talking about assumptions.
Yeah.
I just assume everybody's okay. I mean, if they're not okay, they're going to let me know. Well, they're not going to let you know. People don't do that. And you just assume when the doors are open up, everybody's going to come back. The proverb passage says, no, well, they knew. They knew the condition. And so when you look at a flock of sheep, there's a whole bunch of sheep there. You can just say, well, look at them. They're all doing well. Well, no, this one stepped on a rock and he has sore foot. This one over here is about to give birth, and it can't travel very far today. This one's got bugs in his ears. That really bothers him because they can't scratch her ear like a dog. And this one doesn't like that one. There's some tension in the flock. And they all look fine. Well, no, they're not all fine. Know well the condition of your flock. And that takes us to Ezekiel. One of my favorite passages when we talk about shepherding is Ezekiel 34. And what God is doing is he's addressing the leaders of Israel. He calls them shepherds by name. And he points out in the negative way that they simply were not doing their jobs. It says in verse 2, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And of course, the answer is yes to that. You eat the fat, clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you've not strengthened. The disease, you've not healed. They're broken, you've not bound up. The scattered, you've not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. Multiple issues there. One of the things we're going to see here, and we're going to carry this over to the New Testament, another verse that kind of shows this, is first of all, we're not all in the same condition. There were some that were sickly. There were some that was diseased. There were some that were broken. There were some that were scattered. How easy it is to think, well, we're all the same. So here it is, Sunday morning, sitting on the same pew, 6 feet apart, of course. We got to do that, okay? As a young family, he's been a Christian about 2 years. He's got a wife and 2 or 3 kids. He's worried about his job. He's worried about the future. He's worried about how he's going to afford college for his kids. Lots of things running through his mind. Sitting 6 feet apart is a 67-year-old widower. He's been a Christian since he's 13 years old. His wife has now passed away. Now, you look at those two men on the same pew, on the same Sunday. Do you think that they have the same needs? Do you think that the same thing keeps them awake at night? Do you think that they have the same concerns, the same worries? And so the eldership looks at them and say, what we're going to study is the book of Romans. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the book of Romans need to be going through front and back, up and down. We need to know the book of Romans. But when you look at those two men, is that the most pressing topic in their lives right now? And maybe for one man, he needs another study than what the other man needs. And sometimes the only thing shepherds do, and I've had this done because I've asked them personally, you're studying the book of Romans this quarter, wonderful, wonderful book. I'm all for that. Why did you choose the book of Romans for this quarter? Well, Brother Shouse, it's because we studied Acts last quarter. Well, guess what you're going to study the next quarter, aren't you? You're just going book by book. And maybe that's not feeding the flock exactly as they need. Now, we understand this in our homes. In our homes, you have a little baby. That little baby doesn't eat much, but eats all the time. You got teenagers, and you can't feel those hollow legs. They eat volumes of food. And so As the family changes, adjustments have to be made. Now, before we leave Ezekiel 34, notice what it says in verse 12 here. It says, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be the mountain heights of Israel. Then they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed on rich pasture of the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. See, the Lord is saying Israel's leaders aren't doing it, but I'm going to do it. And here's what they're supposed to do. Powerful things we see there.
I don't know of very many words that probably more accurately describe what so many are feeling in 2020 than what you read those first few verses: weak, sick, strayed, lost. That describes a lot of people in 2020.
And how many within the congregation?
Yeah.
Know well the condition of your flock. The New Testament passage is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, what we notice in that passage is there are three different qualities of Christians stated. There's a fourth one that's implied. And then the condition or the reaction or the thing to be done to them was different. He has listed here the unruly. The unruly simply means out of step. We know what it's like to be in a marching band, or you see the military walking in a parade, left, right, left, right, left, right. Well, when everyone's left, this guy's right. And the reason why he's right is not because he's uncoordinated, it's because he's rebellious. You can't tell me what foot to walk on. You can't tell me when to come to church. You can't tell me. He is a rebel, and he wants to bust loose.
We see a lot of that in 2020, right? We see that on TV. We see that on social media. Maybe we've seen that in person, where a lot of people right now have that exact attitude that nobody's going to tell me what to do.
The second group is faint-hearted. They're scared. They're worried. And they're uncertain. The next group he talks about is the weak. They're just not spiritually strong. They're going to make the wrong choices because they're not strong. Now, before we leave that, understand, implied in the fourth one is to whom this is written to. This is written to the strong. The strong is supposed to help these people. So here you have in the Thessalonian church four different categories of Christians. And what that tells us is you can stand at the back doors on a Sunday morning, look over at the church, and assume everybody is at the same place. We're not. It's like driving down on the highway. Somebody's ahead of me, someone's beside me, someone's behind me. And we need to realize we're not in the same place. We don't have the same needs. We don't have the same issues. We don't have the same concerns. That's where this begins. From this, he says in verse 14, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Three action words: admonish, encourage, and help. Now, if you don't know the condition of your flock, you mess this up. Imagine here's somebody who's a rebel. You can't tell me what to do. And you encourage him. Well, he's gone. You just open the barn door and that guy's never coming back. Or here's somebody who's faint-hearted and you admonish them. Rather than giving them a hug, you gave them a warning. You've just crushed that person. And here's somebody who is weak, rather than helping him, you hurt him. So what this passage tells me is I have to know the condition of the flock. From that, I have to know what prescription to give this person. That's what the doctor does. When you walk into the doctor, he finds out you have this problem. He doesn't have one jar of pills on the shelf. He writes this prescription for this prescription for that problem. Based on where you are is the kind of medicine that you need.
And I think it's important to realize this isn't just a skill or a requirement for shepherds. This is all over the Bible. A good preacher knows his audience, right? Peter preaches a different message to Jews than Paul does to Gentiles. Now, hear me clearly. It is both faithful to God. It both revolves around the gospel, but it's an awareness of the audience. Paul does not go to Gentiles in Athens and talk all about the law of Moses. But Peter is able to assume certain things about the knowledge of his audience as he preaches to Jews. Good parents understand this with children. I've got three daughters who have all been raised by the same mother and father in the same household, but all three of them are very different. We do our best to appreciate that in the moment and communicate in ways that are helpful and connecting to them and their personalities. This is just a fundamental of wisdom.
And we see this in the writing of the Gospels.
Yeah.
Matthew was written to Jewish people, heavily quoting from the Old Testament. Other gospel writers are written to different audiences. And so know well the condition of your flock. We're not in the same place. Although we may all be here Sunday morning, we may all be together, sing the same songs, bow our heads, the same prayer, hear the same sermon. We got different things going through our hearts. Elders have to know that.
So Roger, what do you think is required of an elder to know, okay, this person over here is acting in an unruly way. This person over here seems to be faint-hearted, and I know that person over there is weak. What has to happen in the life and heart of that shepherd to know those things?
Well, you know, one of the things is that the outcome may look the same. Here's three different individuals, and they're not attending when they should. Now, the rebel, because he's resisting. The faint-hearted, because he's scared. The weak is just weak, and he doesn't know. So you look at the attendance roster, and here's three different families, and they weren't there Sunday. And we can assume it's the same exact problem. But what Thessalonians shows us is that there's three different issues. Now, they may look the same, but the problem was different. So personal attention, nothing beats that. I mean, as that shepherd walked among the sheep of Judea, he would look at each sheep. As they followed him, he would turn around and watch them. He would see how they are walking. Is one walking with a limp? Is one falling behind? Is one seem to be twitching his head as if he's got bugs in his ear? He looks at the sheep individually. So that means just asking them at the door as they leave on a Sunday morning, how you doing? Well, the answer is going to be fine. How are you doing? Yeah. That's not the way they do it. They have to be in coffee shops. They have to be in living rooms. They have to be on phone calls. They have to send texts and emails. They have to have that personal contact. Now, when you look at this list in Thessalonians, it creates questions for us. What causes somebody to be unruly? What causes somebody to be faint-hearted? What causes someone to be weak? Those are the questions that need to be answered. Shepherds, as they're in meetings with each other, they're not deciding, do we go with blue paint or yellow paint on the wall? That's deacon work. They're thinking about, why do some people become unruly? And then secondly, how can we prevent that from happening? What type of classes, what type of sermons do we need to have to prevent these things? What can we do to keep other people from getting that same condition? Those are the kind of questions that they're asking. They are focused upon the flock, upon the people. How can we keep other people from becoming faint-hearted in a crisis? What better jobs can we be doing to prevent these things? That's the thoughts they run through a shepherd. And so the shepherd the only way to know this is by spending time with him, having a relationship with him, having a conversation where they can ask the hard questions and they get the right answers back.
One of the things that I hear you saying from Ezekiel and First Thessalonians we all need to be really careful assuming, right? Those elders or shepherds in Ezekiel, they were doing pretty well, right? I mean, they had plenty to eat and they were relaxing and just enjoying the spoils of a lot of maybe hard individual work. Life was good. And so maybe some of them assumed, well, if my life is good, everybody's life is good. Or if life is good, nothing really needs attention right now. We've talked a lot in 2020 about vision, right? And good shepherds not only look at the present, but they look ahead. What might be coming? What might the obstacles be?
What happens in a lot of congregations, and I've just seen this through decades of working with different groups, is a lot of times what elders do is they go around and they're cleaning up messes. Here's a family and there's a marriage that fell apart, so they go back and try to pick up the pieces. Here's a teenager that got arrested, they try to pick up the pieces. And they're always falling from one mess to the next mess to the next mess, and all they're doing is just cleaning up messes.
Just reacting.
Yes. Rather than, what can we do to prevent marriages from collapsing? What can we do to keep teens strong? As our young people head off to college, how can we ensure their faith? So that's going to focus them upon what kind of classes do we need to have? What kind of men do we need to bring in? And what kind of lessons do we want them to be preaching to our congregation? What kind of suggestions are we going to tell our preachers? This is some things that we think that we need to be addressing. What kind of personal studies are the elders going to have with these people on their own? Because they're going to be involved with that. Just assuming because I got through this crisis just fine, you did too, that's a wrong assumption. And just because I don't need anything doesn't mean that you don't need anything. And so know well the condition of your flock.
Such a powerful phrase, and especially when we realize ultimately this flock belongs to the chief shepherd, right? This church is his church. This body is his body, which means this is the most important work in the world.
We see so many parallels between the church and the family. And I think that's why God uses terms like that. We're brothers and sisters and he is our father. Lots of terminology. It just flows parallels between the family and the church. And we're sitting down at the table and there's one of the kids and he's not eating. Well, a wise mom and dad sees that. And they're going to find out, first of all, are you sick? They're going to put the hand on the forehead. Or are you bothered? You know, did you just break up? Did you do something wrong? You know, they're going to be asking questions because they notice something isn't right. Why is shepherds notice the same thing?
Shepherds during a crisis, and most certainly this speaks to the work of those who are charged by God to fulfill this service, but it also ought to speak to all of us as members of the flock. Shepherds are stretched right now. Shepherds are tired right now, like many who are going through this storm that we are now months into. Could I just encourage you, if you are a member of this local flock or whatever flock you are a part of, be an encouragement to your shepherds this week. Maybe even take the time this weekend to ask, is there anything I can do? I know that you have your eyes on a lot of different issues right now. You're trying to plan. You're trying to make sure that the most wise and helpful decisions for the good of this flock are being made. Is there something I could do, some issue that I can try and just take off of your plate because I appreciate you and the work that you're doing?
And let me say this, too, to the rebel spirit, be careful.
Yeah.
Too many things are taken to social media, particularly Facebook, that doesn't belong there. If you have a problem, talk to one of your shepherds personally. Don't talk to someone else. Don't stir things up. understand the shoes that they walk in, how difficult it is, and how they're looking at everything, and all you see is your little perspective. And that rebel spirit, it's going to get you in trouble.
Absolutely.
And so we got to just kind of tone that down a little bit and realize a great blessing God has given us with these wonderful shepherds.
Let's pray for our shepherds this weekend. I don't know many things that you could do more substantial than praying for each one of those men by name, thanking God for them, lifting them up, praying for their endurance, for their patience, their compassion, their wisdom. What an amazing opportunity to pray for shepherds in the name of the chief shepherd. Roger, this is a valuable series, Shepherding During a Crisis. We've already had one episode. If you did not listen to that earlier, it is freely available in our podcast feed and at charlestownroad.org. Lord willing, we've got three more in this series. Next Friday, The Footprints of a Shepherd from Psalm 23. Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, the shepherd and sheep relationship, and then we will wrap up the month of July by talking about how sheep can help the shepherds. But I appreciate you joining me today, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.